I'd like to call House Finance Committee meeting to order. We do have a quorum today with Representatives Mulder, Foster, Kelly, Terrio, myself, Hanley, and Martin. And the first bill up on the schedule today will be House Bill 122. Representative Moses.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I'm Representative Moses, sponsor of House Bill 122. We have submitted a committee substitute for your consideration. It increases the marine fuel tax from 5 to 8 cents, with 3 cents to be shared back to the municipalities where the marine fuel is sold. It keeps the revenue generated from the 5% tax in the general fund, so that not take money away from the general fund. As a physical note of $40,000, and we're proposing that be taken out of the 3 cents additional tax. Over the years, say back 25 years ago when I was down here before, we had a division of boats and harbors that was sympathetic with the needs for boats and harbors, and majority of at that time the 5 cents was being spent on boats and harbors, sometimes more. But in the last 10 years or so, we seem to have gotten away from that gentleman's agreement where money would go to that marine fuel tax would go to boats and harbors, and particularly essential in my district where we're starving for additional facilities, and it retards economic development in many of my communities where a lot of the majority of the fishing activities are. We only have 2 full-fledged boat harbors, and that's Sandpoint and King Cove. And they are maxed out in capacity and active boat harbors year-round with what I should say are productive boats that contribute to the economy of the state and the fishing industry. Of course, now advocating that we do more for the small boat fishery. Like in Unalaska, we have one of the richest fisheries in the world in our front door and back door. But 58-foot limit, which I've tried to correct last year, but wasn't very successful. The governor vetoed it. We've virtually given that fishery to the state of Washington on a silver platter. It's a criminal, really. So now I'm trying to advocate making concessions to the small boat fleet, 60 feet and under, whether it takes special quotas or special fishing seasons. And I've also talked to members of the North Pacific Council, and they appear to be very sympathetic, being that we've restricted our resident fishermen by law to a 58-foot boat. I think they should have concessions from the North Pacific Council and the Department of Fish and Game to get part of that fishery back. But it's going to take facilities, and just like Chitnik, False Pass, Cole Bay, Nelson Lagoon, there's great need for these facilities, but they don't seem to happen. And this would be a method of establishing some money to either maintain the facilities or build new ones. I can envision, if this is in place, a community could go to Ada with the revenue stream from potential revenue stream from the Moorage rentals and this sharing and perhaps build their own facility if there's no major breakwaters involved. And actually, that's what Ada was started for. That was the purpose of Ada way back when it was first originally started. But anyway, I think it's only fair that we share the additional tax back to the communities where the fuel is sold. And of course, if the fuel is sold, marine fuel is sold in the community, that indicates that there is a need for these facilities, either through new facilities or additional facilities. I mean, maintenance of the present facilities, which is very few in my district. An example, when the five small boats from Foster's area went home for the Christmas holidays, they had to have their boats lifted on the city dock with a mobile crane because there was no safe place to moor them. That's costly. That's just an indication what the problem we have in Dutch Harbor with through lack of facilities. There's times in the private docks, like the cannery processing docks, boats will be tied up 5-6 feet abreast of one another. And of course, when it gets stormy, there's no protection for them, so they have to move around, try to find another place to tie up. I could go on and on, I guess, regarding the need for it, but this will be a vehicle to accomplish what I know we badly need in my district. Glad to answer any questions you may have.
Okay, no questions?
No questions.
Representative Theriault?
The 5 cents that's currently charged here, I just see the second paragraph of the bill analysis says that the balance of the fuel tax revenue not shared, the 5 cent portion, may be appropriated for water and harbor facilities. That's not changed.
No, everything remains the same. The 3 cents additional would be shared.
But the bill doesn't change the accounting, the collection and accounting of that 5%, does it? I was just looking in here where it says that the shall be deposited in a special account. So that's the portion that could be used for harbor facilities, just like it can be used for harbor facilities right now, put into an account and subject to a legislative appropriation can be used for that purpose.
Technically, the whole... The original, the 5 cents a gallon now could be used, but that hasn't been the case. It's only been a small fraction of it going to boat harbors in the last 10, 15 years.
I had an arithmetic question here on your fiscal notes, bill analysis on the revenue. It says Department of Revenue would share 50% of the fuel tax revenues. But it says here that it's they would give back 3 cents out of the 8 cents, which would be more like 3/8, which would be 37.5% rather than 50%. I didn't know if that would include the net, but the net was only $40,000 for the fiscal note, so I didn't think that would fit in. I was just wondering what the.
For the record, my name is Bob Bartholomew. I'm Deputy Director of Income and Size Audit, Department of Revenue. I guess where was you reading the 50% sharing?
Yeah, it's right here on this bill analysis from revenue dated March 20. Audit operation share taxes.
Yeah, there should be a fiscal note with a revision date of April 26.
Right. April 20. Okay, I got that.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I got you. Any other questions? Representative Brown.
Thank you. Is it a correct understanding that the money will go to the cities where the fuel is sold or where the tax is collected?
That's the intent, yes.
Do you have a list of cities that are expected to benefit under that change in the law?
No, but it would be throughout the state, whatever cities have our marine fuel tax.
I see in this fiscal note that there are new reporting requirements imposed on motor fuel sales dealers. What will that amount to, and do you think that'll be a burdensome requirement for them, or how much difficulty will that involve?
I defer to Bob.
It does require new reporting. At this point, the taxes are reported and collected on a statewide basis. In trying to determine the impact on both the department and on the industry, we called and talked to a couple of the fuel distributors, and it wasn't clear exactly how much work it was going to be. There didn't seem to be a concern that they wouldn't be able to do it. They said that they, you know, there's a small percentage of the sales that are going to require a downstream person to report, which is called a jobber, someone who picks the fuel up from a central part and may drive from one city to another. The tracking of that fuel, which was estimated to be a small part, that's going to be the increased reporting. But they seemed to, at least in the initial phone calls, was that they would be able to get that information.
Mr. Chairman, so is this tax a wholesale, so to speak, or a retail? Where does the taxing of it actually take place?
The current taxing takes place at the wholesale level. It's at the first sale or transfer within the state. And what the proposed CS does is say that if you have a secondary sale or transfer that changes cities, then that would have to be reported. So if you bought fuel in Kenai and drove to Soldotna and filled it up, then you would report that transfer, and Homer would get credited for the sale of fuel.
You being the retail seller or the wholesaler that sold it to the retail seller?
It would be whoever took it across city lines. So it would generally be either a qualified dealer who reports to us now who does deliveries, or if they sell to an intermediary, a jobber, who fills up a fuel truck and drives to another city or to another port, they would have to report that transaction.
But there's no more tax of it. It just gets taxed once at the wholesale, and then you're just trying to track the disposition of where those
That's
gallons
correct.
Went.
That's correct.
Representative Pete Kelly and then Navarre.
What prevents the municipalities from having this tax now?
Actually, nothing except it's the same thing you run into as like a sales tax, where Osceola would have a sales tax, but Anchorage doesn't. Like if Unalaska put we do have a sales tax now on everything, whether it's groceries, fuel, or fish, whatever. But as an example, we're only 35 miles from Accutane. They sell fuel also. They only have a 1% sales tax. But if Unalaska gets exorbitant raising their marine fuel tax only, then the boats will buy all their fuel over in Accutane. I mean, it would be worth their while to buy all their fuel in Accutane instead of on Alaska, so this is the only or the best way to try to handle it, so that the municipalities aren't competing when municipality becomes at a disadvantage.
Okay, Representative Navarre and then Mulder.
Wouldn't it be easier to calculate if we just shared it back at the point of wholesale delivery? Whichever community that happened to be in.
I didn't hear.
So that you share it back to the communities at the point of wholesale delivery.
Where is that, Keenan?
You happen to have a refinery?
Actually, Mr. Chairman, one of the concerns that I have with legislation that I guess takes a piece out of whatever the tax picture is statewide is that at the state level, we taxes that we collect in the fiscal dilemma that we find ourselves in is going to require that we hold some options open at the state level. And as we continue to allow opportunities at the local level, or I guess not only allow those opportunities, we encourage them in many cases, what we're doing is we're taking a bite out of the state's ability to raise revenues. And that's just one of the concerns that I have, that the authority, I think, at local levels is fairly broad. They have a wide range of opportunities in which to raise revenues themselves, and that we ought to try to keep whatever ability we have at the state level reserved to the state, because we're definitely going to need it.
Representative Mulder in Ontario.
Carl, are there any other sources of funding for boat harbors? I mean, nationally or within the state or any place else?
Well, generally, if there's a breakwater required, the Corps engineer gets involved. But other than that, like I said, you know, 25 years ago, we were sort of appropriating the 5 cents a gallon that was being received back to boat harbors. It wasn't necessarily a dedicated fund, but was that it was working out fairly well. But that we've kind of drifted away from that.
Mr. Chairman, I kind of view this as kind of a band-aid. I think we've got an overall problem in relation to our transportation system within the state. I think that the appropriate course next year will probably be put on the ballot to see if the voters in the state are willing to adopt a fuel tax increase, which will be dedicated for improving our roads and our airports and our dock facilities around the state. And I'm afraid if we go with a piecemeal approach, that the attractiveness of the whole picture is diminished. But if we put on the whole picture to the voters, let them decide if they want to go for a tax increase that will be dedicated toward transportation uses, I think it has a lot of merit. And I think the voters, if they know that it's going to go for those needs, that they'll approve it. They're going to be very reluctant to just have it go into the general fund, which this does, by the way. But if they can see that it's going to go for their end purposes, I think they're going to be much more willing to adopt such a plan.
Maybe if you can just stay with us, I think we'll get some more questions here. I've got Terry O'Grusendorf and then Navarre.
Well, I'm just wondering what are the real restrictions on how this money is used? I'm just looking at the section here. Maybe appropriated for the purpose of paying refunds to municipalities for water and harbor facilities. Will that be tracked back and audited, or is this money just going to go into the general funds of the municipalities?
Well, DOT would like to see it specified for maintenance or building of new facilities. We have, and we don't mind having that in the bill. Of course, I think it should also include utilities for boat harbors and also landfill. It's very interesting that, like in Unalaska, probably 80% of our landfill requirement is the result of marine or industry activity. And that's quite a chunk of money for the community to come up with, and it's only logical that the marine fuel tax contribute to that also, because being that the marine industry creates the need for a landfill, and we're required by law to take all their garbage and nets and debris, et cetera.
Well, I guess, while I might agree with certainly that it be steered towards the harbor facilities. I'm thinking up in Fairbanks, we have our municipal dump, and we have to handle everybody's trash, you know, from a large geographic area. But I wouldn't think that the motor fuels tax generally in Burlington should be steered towards the dump. And the other thing I wanted to ask, marine fuel tax. I'm trying to think up in Fairbanks where people, you know, boat on the rivers and the lakes. How do you determine what is a marine fuel for use in inside the Fairbanks North Star Borough?
In that case, they just go up to the service station, and consequently, they're paying the 8 cents a gallon.
Representative Bruce North, then Navar.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is something that the city and borough is very interested in, because what we have is an enterprise fund, an enterprise harbor fund. And we're trying to get sources of revenue to make it attractive to take some of these harbors away from the state. In other words, they're in state ownership, but many of them are administered by the city and borough of Sitka as an enterprise fund, including any electrical hookups, any electricity that's generated or, you know, used down there, that also goes in the harbor fund. And the same is true with the fish enhancement tax. And the city is very specific that any monies that is generated off from the fishing fleet goes on the waterfront at some point, be they grids, be they fishing work floats. And this would be a fiscal tool for them to consider going that last step and taking over the state harbors. And if they could see that revenue stream, we have about a $17 million harbor facility being built right now, and probably about $12 million of that is Corps of Engineers monies, and that's in operation right now. And the city is really interested in this, and it was mentioned about the taxes in general on fuels. If the public that is using this fuel for a specific purpose knows that it's going into the area that they are interested in, they'll probably go along with it. For example, aviation fuel, boom, you know. The highway fuel, fine. And marine fuels, to a program like this. It was even mentioned in here, Representative Moses, that it would, the municipalities had to use it for harbors. That would suit me fine, because then at least I would have, my municipality would definitely be accountable, even though they are very accountable now. But this would be just simply a fiscal tool that could be used to open some possibilities for municipalities up and down the coast. And it is true that the price of fuel, not so much in my area at this time, but up where Representative Moses is, they're buying huge quantities of fuel, where 2 or 3 cents or 2 or 3 points difference in sales tax is worth the 30-mile venture over or less to get the fuel. And this would at least create some sort of uniformity. So, and for Representative Brown, we could always consider this as another funding source for public radio and TV, like we did with the fish enhanced monies in the last bill we passed the other day.
A good example, St. Paul and St. George, there's been tens of millions of dollars invested in breakwaters. And now they have a need for small boat facilities. And they're right in the heart of the greatest fishery in the world. But, you know, no facilities whatsoever for small boats. If they have a small boat in order to, there's no safe place to moor it. So they have to haul it up on the beach. This would take care of some of their problems and enable them to get some floats and mortgages for the small boat fleet.
Representative Navarre and Kelly?
I don't have any more questions.
Okay. Representative Kelly?
I can't remember all of the things, the applications for the CDQ program. Is not some of the money for CDQ for harbors, or is that strictly for processing?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. We have built, my district, a lot of CDQ money has gone to build docks, not necessarily boat harbor facilities, but docks. A good example, in Cold Bay, we took over the state dock, which was virtually a liability to the state, and built only to get fuel ashore for the airport. It was just a small dock. Well, the borough took it over, and with very little state money, made it about five times bigger, and this winter we had a processor in there operating, and it made the dock or facility capable of for a ferry dock. Prior to that, the borough getting involved and making a useless facility, it was just mainly used for getting fuel to the airport. Actually, the borough took the liability off the state's hand. I think there was $500,000 state money that went into the $2.5 million project of making it into a usable facility. And there again, we don't have any state-built ferry docks. And on Alaska, for example, they have a port authority, of course, and the city dock, which I think was around $8 million, they went to ADA and got a loan through ADA for the city dock, which serves as the state ferry dock. But the PITCA has, or the CDQ monies have been going into dock facilities. There'll be a dock built in Nelson Goon this year with the help of CDQ monies. There's CDQ monies dedicated for a dock in Atka and so on down the line.
I guess my question was, why then isn't the CDQ money already going for these kinds of projects? Or is that not what... So I guess the question is, what's the need for the three? Don't we already have a mechanism in place to get money to build these kinds of facilities?
And that's no. The CDQ money doesn't have to go to docks or et cetera. It's up to them how they want to spend it.
So,
in my district, the monies are going, like up in the Preblaus, they spend a lot of money on that. Road carver, dredging, and et cetera.
Mr. Chairman, if I may throw something there, and that CDQs doesn't go down into southeast Alaska from, what, Cordova down or Valdez down?
The only CDQ monies I know are up in the Bering Sea.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to get at, that all the CDQs are up in the Bering Sea area, that your question might be or have a regional probably connection, but not statewide.
Well, but as he was saying that it was his area that needed these, that's my mind was automatically going towards Western Alaska when I was asking the question. You had mentioned that there were a lot of areas in your, or cities in your area that lack these facilities. And you have the CDQ in place. If you chose to use that money, you could to build these facilities. Or is that...
A lot of our... Let's see, there's only five of our villages, I believe, that are involved in CDQs. And it's a limited amount of money that they actually get out of that. And they have been spending it wisely. They have been buying new boats, all, but and they have been putting money into docks like False Pass. That money was mainly built because of $1 million of CDQ money going in it, and that is also a ferry dock.
Representative Terrio, as far as the municipalities able to levy their own tax and competing with each other, if one municipality a little ways down the shore doesn't have tax and tries to attract all the business, they don't generate any revenue off of that, do they? Because without their own tax at an adequate level, so they don't generate it locally, what would be the real benefit to them undercutting, competing with another municipality that's trying to levy its own tax and generate revenues to provide for these things locally? Is it just a spin-off business, other things than
Well, somehow or another, it doesn't seem to work that way. You don't get uniformity on sales tax. They don't necessarily work together. If I understand your question right.
Well, and I guess that's kind of my frustration. They have a mechanism. They could generate revenue. All the communities could generate revenue, provide these facilities themselves, but they don't. So I guess what appears we're being asked to do is put impose the tax on them uniformly so that they can't compete against each other. Because if they will, they'll cut each other's throats and not provide any money for themselves. Maybe that's just the way it is.
Representative K. Brown.
Thank you. I was wondering, from the title, it looks like the first phrase of the title refers to that the reporting requirement goes to all the motor fuel sales, not just the motor fuel on watercraft. And I was trying to understand, are we imposing the tax return filing and the reporting requirements for all categories of motor fuel?
The CS does two things. On Section 5 of the bill on page 3, the tax return filing requirements section, that's a new section of law, but it's basically what's currently in regulation, and there's been a lot of bashing of regulations and how it wasn't done in the way that it was intended, so we thought to make it clear, we would go ahead and request that the requiring for a tax return be put into the statute. So that's current regulation being put into statute, and it's not a new requirement. The new requirement placed specifically just on on watercraft fuel is on it's on page 5 of the bill, subparagraph D. That's the new reporting requirement for motor fuel or watercraft fuel.
Thank you.
Representative Lahore.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Also seems like in the CS what we're doing is we're setting it up so that any future increases in the motor fuel tax will include watercraft, motor fuel, and then will be shared back to the municipalities that the rate of 37.5%, is that correct? So if we are interested in building the gasoline tax, increasing the motor fuels tax in order to take care of our transportation system, we would also increase the amount that goes back to municipalities under the watercraft motor fuel tax. And what we set up is a precedent for providing that for when we want gasoline tax increases, the demand likely for sharing back to municipalities on some allocated share, which will mean that rather than our entire transportation system getting the benefits of it, it would be reserved to those areas which have the greatest sales. And that's not necessarily in the state of Alaska a good idea because of the huge areas that we have to address and take care of, which are not within areas where the fuel might actually be sold.
I missed part of the meeting here. Maybe you've already answered it. Is the amount of taxes given to the municipalities, is that a net thing after the administrative expenses are deducted, or is that part of the gross?
We'd propose that the operating or the expenses to the department could be taken out of the 3 cents.
Okay.
Yeah, currently the fiscal note was...
So there'd be no net change to the state then?
Yeah, there would be a change in the fiscal note. The fiscal note is prepared, shared 100% of the increase in tax. If the intent was to share the increase less the increased operating cost, then we would deduct that before we shared it. So it would then be a zero, net zero impact.
Representative Mulder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I still have great reluctance about this because I do think it takes a very narrow approach. I mean, a little bit on the same line that Representative Navarre has, in that, you know, we're dealing with one problem. And I'll grant you, it is a problem. But I think that if we do put a question on the ballot, and I think we will put a question on the ballot next year, that there's going to be no incentive for the coastal communities to support that increase of tax if they've already gotten their slice of the pie. If they've already gotten what they want in terms of an increased tax, and it's going directly toward them. Whereas if we put this question on the ballot about a dedicated motor fuel tax to go toward transportation facilities, that won't be shared with municipalities. It'll be administered directly by the state. You know, the coastal communities have gotten everything that they want. The money comes direct. They not only get the money to go toward facilities, but they get it to come directly to them. Whereas if we put a motor fuel tax on, there's no sharing with municipality of Anchorage or Kenai or Sitka or anywhere else. It's going to be administered by the state. There's going to be no incentive for the coastal communities to support that kind of proposition. And the only way we're going to get a proposition like that to pass is if we do have broad-based support, because there are going to be elements of the state that aren't going to like it. So I have great reluctance to do a piecemeal approach when I think we need to look at the big picture.
Go ahead. Did you want to respond?
Yeah, I was prepared to try and solve that problem with an increase from the highway for the highway tax, but I suggested we wait and study it and do something on it next year. And I don't think it should go to the ballot. I think we're behind the curve now, and something we should have done probably 2-3 years ago, because I'm afraid that the federal government is going to look at our formula on our highway funds and say, and those congressmen decide, hey, you know, you're not taxing yourself, we're going to change the formula. And I think we're coming to that point now. It is of great concern to me. And of course, the same thing with this harbor facility problem. We were 5-10 years behind time. It's just hampering economic development. Like I say, the benefit to the most lucrative fishery in the world is going to the state of Washington through our own default. And if we don't do something about it, it's going to continue to go that way. It's just a ridiculous situation. And back to Representative Theriault's point on why doesn't the municipalities do this themselves, one thing you have to take into consideration, that a lot of this fuel is being delivered to the offshore trawlers by barge, and all they have to do is go outside the municipal boundaries and make that barge delivery, and there's no tax. It would be no tax at all.
Representative Brown.
I wanted to ask Representative Mulder what exactly he envisions being put up for a vote. I agree we need to be looking at the big picture. Are you envisioning a vote on a constitutional amendment or an advisory vote on whether to have a tax?
Actually, a constitutional vote. I think, and it's in deference to Representative Moses indicated, that I think there's a big problem out there, but recognizing the political realities of this legislature, that people are very reluctant to impose a tax, people out in the public are very reluctant to accept a tax. But I think the thing that what has impressed me, both among this legislature and the public, is that people are willing to pay the tax if they know it's going to go toward a specific purpose. If they think they're going to be willing to pay more fuel tax if it's going to go toward roads or highway or airports or docks, if they can see that end. But the only way we can do that is through a resolution and through a ballot initiative, you know, put before the voters. And that's why, I mean, that's the approach that I think we need to go, and that's really why I'm saying the things I am.
Well, you know, we've been debating this question many years, and I've always opposed a dedicated fund for this. And I guess what I agree that we've just let these facilities, let opportunities go by, let our current facilities deteriorate. And what I'd like to see is to expand this bill to be a revenue-raising measure for motor fuels and to get on with it so that we can appropriate money to some of these high-priority needs around the state and not make it, you know, so unduly complicated. Because, I mean, yeah, there's political realities. Some people think a constitutional amendment is a good idea. I don't particularly think it's a good idea, and I think there was a lot of wisdom in how the framers of the Constitution set it up, and I just have a lot of reservations, because if you do it for them, are we going to do it for tourism marketing? Are we going to do it for education? I mean, there's many interest groups out there that would have at least as much legitimate reason to come in and argue that they ought to get their own special dedicated fund for their, you know, continuation of their program or purpose. And I just think we're starting down the wrong road with that. So I'd hope that people would just keep in mind that, you know, everybody drives on the roads. The people that are out using the transportation facilities use them, and that we have to have a funding source to pay for them. And as long as the tax is modest and doesn't cause, you know, a huge uproar, I think people will understand that it's necessary to have revenues to support this public infrastructure, and that our best, most straightforward approach would be to just do it. So I think that Representative Moses has a good idea, and we ought to expand it to include the other areas as well and just do it.
Representative Moses.
Yeah, I'd venture, there's no way of telling where the marine fuel tax is coming from now, because revenue doesn't have the accounting set up and they're taxing it, or it's being submitted from the wholesale level, not broken down by communities. So I haven't been able to find out in communities in my own district what they actually get back. But I'd venture to say between non-residents that are paying this present tax, and my constituents in District 40 is much more than 50% of this, the present 5%, 5 cent a gallon tax. And it's so critical that not just in my district, throughout the state, and the needs of the boat harbors and maintenance and new boat harbors, that we're 10, 15 years behind the times. I mean, we haven't been putting the money that we've been collecting in the last 10, 15 years into boat harbors facilities. And I'll go home and face the music. It's critical and long overdue. And the longer we wait, the worse it gets. And we're sacrificing our own economy, the whole state, because of the lack of facilities. And I don't think it's right.
Any other questions? Representative Guzdor.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I like the aspect of having municipalities having access to a funding source to make decisions dealing with their harbors. And the reason for this is it's a very competitive business out there to attract the fleet, but the fleet is only attracted if you provide the right facilities. And that's good harboring facilities, that's having ice available, power available, work areas available, and grids available. And with a revenue stream, a municipality can kind of plan and do these things. And as I said, in the city of Borough Sitka, everything dealing with that goes on the waterfront, and we're starting to attract more people. So if you use this marine fuel tax properly, it will simply generate more people coming in. But yet any other community that's doing that can start doing the same thing. It's competitive. And I think Representative Terrio asked the question, well, are there any side benefits? Yes. When we get ships or fishing vessels into Sitka, and they can get the grocery store that makes delivery by pickup, bring it down to their boat and things of that nature, there's a tremendous spinoff of an economy. If the state simply then allocated and said, well, what projects do you want, you know, what the budgetary process is like that we go through here for the capital budget, then we'd be talking about a dock or a harbor or a lightering float. It wouldn't get the consideration that the locals would have in doing things like this, that they know what the demand is, as opposed to the DOT and others saying, this is what they're going to do. There's some projects that are there for the public's convenience. There are other projects there for not only the public convenience, but can generate revenue or some sort of economic activity. And that's why I'm trying to get some of this. That's why I support a piece of legislation like this. Mr. Chairman, I don't know if we have a motion, but at this time I'd like to... Have we adopted this?
No, we haven't. Go ahead.
Okay. I move that we adopt... This is the CS for House Bill 122?
Yes, sir.
Is there... We have not adopted this? We've been just discussing.
No, we
discussing.
Haven't. We haven't adopted the work draft.
Okay, well, I move that we at least drop the work draft for discussion.
Any objection? Okay, it's adopted. Representative Mulder?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we revise the fiscal note to reflect that the percentage that the cost of the overhead come out of the municipality share as opposed to the state share.
Any objection? Okay, it's moved and adopted.
Mr. Chairman, one last question for Bob or for Representative Moses. Is there any guarantee that the money that we give back to the municipalities will in fact be used on boat harbors? I mean, could they use it simply to offset their property taxes?
Well, this isn't mandatory, and I should think the whether it's Revenue Department or DOT could demand that. Of course, it does specify water and harbor facilities.
Mm-hmm. But there's nothing that I mean, in other words, if Kenai wanted to use it to offset to pay for their city manager, they could do that? I mean, because there's nothing that specifies that they actually, once it's a grant, it's a grant.
Well, I don't have any problems with being restricted.